minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Thursday, October 4th. I'm Steve Perhatch, and I'm joined by Dusty Evely. Dusty, what is going on, man?
Not much, man. You know, we got to see a shutout win, first one since 2010, and looking forward to division game coming up. So I'm doing real good, doing real good.
So you're doing good. The Packers 2-1-1. They're doing okay. Mm-hmm. You know, some upheaval in the locker room, it seems, but man, the injury report came out, and we got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, because I guess I'm not doing quite as good as I thought I was, Steve. That's right.
You're doing fine. Packers, wide receivers, bodies, not so good. Geronimo Allison did not practice due to a concussion. He is still in concussion protocol. Randall Cobb, again, did not practice, dealing with that hamstring issue. Yeah. And today we find out that Davante Adams was limited in practice due to a calf issue. So I'm counting on my fingers. They don't have a lot of wide receivers left, Dusty.
Not many left. They do not have many left. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't assume anything. I should not assume anything. I assume Adams is going to be healthy just because it seems like a late thing, and I kind of feel like we would have heard about it before now if it was a little more serious. But, yeah, I mean, it's if you're counting just pure wide receivers, you count those three guys out, yeah, we're looking at the youngins is all we got.
Yeah, so, I mean, if, let's say, Adams does play, then you're going to have – McCarthy was talking about he's got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who was going to step up and is going to be featured in that number two role. I mean, are we now in the EQ era, or who do you think? What's coming up next?
I mean, the guy I've been super hyped to see this entire time has been Moore. I mean, he flashed more than anyone else in preseason. Moore flashed. Moore looked really, really good. Except his hands were made out of bricks, and that was a problem with him in college. So I think that's going to follow him a little bit, but. Man, listen, Davante Adams still has problems with drops, and I think we'll always have problems with drops. Like, Moore is a guy that seems like he can get open when he wants. It seems like he, from what I saw, ran some of the best routes. He's got speed. I'm a big fan of MVS and St. Brown. I'm kind of I like St. Brown just fine. Like, I think he's a three. Like, he's fine. I'm really excited to see Moore. And you know, MVS, we'll say, turned in an uneven performance this past week. He had the nice catch at the end that he just basically beat a guy off the line with a go route, which is not something we're accustomed to seeing lately. So that was exciting. But he also kind of drifted back on that one pass that should have been a pick six really on the out. And that wasn't good. That was not a great throw by Rodgers, but MVS needs to come back for that. So it's just a reminder that he looked decent, but he's still a young guy. Like, all these guys are young guys. No matter how much talent or how much potential they have, they got to learn the system and they got to learn how to play in the NFL. And so it's a little dicey to throw those guys out there, but yeah, I'm looking. I think MVS has shown what he can do a little bit. I'm excited about that. I'm really hyped to see more, man. I'm really hyped to see more.
No, I was completely shocked when I saw just a complete go route, and I said, "What is happening right now? This is not the team that I love."
Just clean outside release and just like gained. I've never seen this before, Steve. He gained separation the further he ran down the field. Have you ever heard of this before?
It's a concept in the NFL. It's a little foreign to the green and gold.
Honestly, I was waiting for a flag. I thought it was illegal. I didn't think they could do something like that. But yeah, no, it was exciting. Kinda, it was really exciting.
You're like, are we allowed to do this? Like, what is going on?
This can't be right. This doesn't feel right.
So let's say, you know, these guys are limited. So they don't have Geronimo. They don't have Cobb. They've got four wide receivers. I got to ask you, that means maybe some more tight end issue. Mm. What's going on with Lance Kendricks, man? He can't block. He can't catch. He's running. I don't know what is happening. I don't understand why Mercedes Lewis isn't playing. It's all just, you know, it's frustrating me. And I explain to me what is happening.
I don't know, man, because, I mean, you know, before the season, it was very – I mean, man, we talked – I know me and Andy and then the other pack, as the Pack to the Future, I mean, we talked for a while about, like, man, is Kendricks making this team? Is he on the bubble? You know, you had Tanyan who ended up making the team, but you also had Bird. Like, you had these tight ends with upside. And, like, we know we have Kendricks, but we got these other guys that seem like they could be better. So Kendricks, when he got the job, was firmly in the three. You know, obviously, Tanyan's not ready yet, but he's firmly in the three. It's like firmly in the three. And then suddenly, like, yeah, where's Lewis? Like, I'm looking at Lewis's snap counts right now. He has, game by game, 7-14, 7-17. Kendricks by game 19, 27, 10, 35. The highest Mercedes Lewis has been was 17 snaps. That was this past week, which was 22%. Kendricks had 35 snaps for 46%. And, I mean, it's production. I don't hate Lance Kendricks, but the production's not incredible. I mean, he's got three catches on five targets. He's got that one really bad drop that sticks in a lot of people's minds. And then Lewis has been targeted one time. One time, no catches this entire year. You know, we brought Lewis on, you know, that was kind of the thing, is he's the run-blocking guy, and then when I watched him in preseason, I actually watched all of his stuff from last year, too. He's better in space than I think a lot of people give him credit for. He's still he's an athletic guy. He can catch when the ball gets to him. He's not going to create a bunch of separation, but he can catch, so he can go up and get a ball, and then he can turn around and run a little bit. So he's got skill. Kendrick's just like, the thing on Kendrick's that I think the reason they kept him is he's a less good version of Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis. Like, he can catch a little, and he can maybe threaten a defense, but not to the extent of Jimmy Graham. And he can block a little, but not to the extent of Lewis. So it's kind of this, like, mediocre, you take the high points of the other guys and you take them down, like, five notches, and that's Lance Kendricks. I don't have a problem with Lance Kendricks. Like, I think he's fine. I don't really have a major issue with him. But I have zero idea why Lewis is not on the field. It makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest issue is the reason you want Lewis is because he's the better blocker, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to establish the run, like McCarthy is always trying to establish the run, don't you want the better blocker in there? Doesn't that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Well, okay, again, I just want to make sure I'm not crazy.
Well, like, Lewis isn't a total liability in the pass game either. Like, that's the thing that gets me, is that, like, he's way better. He's better than Kendricks in one portion of the game, and then if you want to look at, like, the pass-catching portion, like, maybe he's a shade below Kendricks, but I think he's at very least even with Kendricks. So either I keep waiting for some weird story to pop up, you know, that, like, he's got some injuries hiding, or he got in fights with guys in the locker room, and McCarthy said you're not getting more than, like, 15 snaps a game for the first half of the season. Like, I keep waiting for something weird to show up, because it makes zero sense to me why he's not out there. Maybe he's not picking up the playbook like they thought. Maybe Kendricks, you know, has been there and they just feel a little more comfortable. I mean, that could be part of it. You know, Graham is the big weapon. He's the shiny new toy, right? And then Lewis is the guy to come in and block. Well, there's always been this thing in Green Bay, for better or worse, of loyalty. And if Kendricks was there and Kendricks knows the playbook and maybe Rodgers is a little more comfortable throwing to Kendricks, you know, I don't know, but if that's the case, then okay, we're going to put him out there. I've not looked to see if Lewis has played, how many passing downs versus running downs Lewis has been. I would bet you tend more towards running downs, because I think his lowest snap count so far was in Washington when they got down early, and so they just never put him out there. But I have zero problem with Kendricks. I'd rather have Lewis out there than Kendricks.
Yeah, that completely makes sense to me. You just mentioned loyalty, so that's kind of, I want to switch it up a little bit. Aaron Jones. Now, he's been back for two games and looked very good. Everybody on Twitter who is the Twitter coaches for the Green Bay Packers, he needs to be out there more. Correct. Obviously, that's something I agree with as well, because I love to be a Twitter coach.
Yeah.
But is the biggest knock on him before was his pass protection. I mean, I know you like to look at all the offensive passing plays.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me? Is that something that he's improved on? Is that a liability he needs to work on? Is that a reason why McCarthy isn't keeping him out there as often?
I don't know. Like, I still think it might be an easing him back. Like, it's weird because, so if you look at the comparison between, say, like, him and Williams, there's a big difference. Jones is not as good as Jamal Williams with pass protection, but, like, Jamal Williams is a special player in pass protection. Like, you can't compare. I don't want to compare, like, Justin McCray to Jamal Williams, because Jamal Williams is better in pass protection than Justin McCray. Maybe Byron Bell as well. I don't know. But, like, so Jones, like, if you look at by comparison, he doesn't look as good. But, I mean, I said this last year. Like, he didn't always seem like he knew the right place to be in, but he was a very willing blocker. He didn't shy away. He didn't take plays off. Even if he's out of position, he always tried to, like, get back. Like, he never looked totally out of sorts, I didn't think. He just missed assignments sometimes. But he was always a willing blocker, with that, which I think for a young guy was a really good sign. This year, and I think he put on a little weight in the offseason. This year, I feel like there's been a marked improvement. I think he's made some nice pickups. I still don't think he's 100% all the way there yet. I think he's there enough to get him on the field a little more. Like, I don't think that's what's holding him back. And I know as far as think he had one more snap than Williams did. So he was the running back that was on the field the most this past game. I think we're going to continue to see that. They really like Williams. I really like Williams. I get why he's out there. I know a lot of people – I know we're talking about Jones. I think there's a misconception about Williams that he's kind of like this ground and pound back. Like, I think he's got a little more wriggle to his game than people realize. He's better in space. He can make people miss. Like, he's not just a straight-ahead runner. Williams is really good. It's just that Jones is special. Jones is really, really good. So, yeah, I don't think – I mean, from what I've seen anyway, the two games he's been back, I've not seen anything in pass protection. I think that guy absolutely cannot be out there. He seems like he's gotten better. Maybe again, not all the way there yet, but I think he's perfectly serviceable in that part of his game.
Good. No, good to hear. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking too. And I think the only other thing I've noted, I read somewhere that potentially the reason that they're all kind of splitting is because they've all had the injury bug between Ty, Jones, and Williams. So, you know, trying to keep them fresh in case one does get nicked up, then you only have two. So
I don't hate it. I mean, really what I like that they do, and they did a little more this past game, they did kind of almost like a series a piece. And then once Jones looked so good, they kind of kept rolling with Jones a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep those guys fresh, you play the mismatches, and you just – my big thing with this team, some of the personnel they have, man, you get guys out there and you just go no huddle. You get the matchups you want, you go no huddle. Any of those, especially Jones and Montgomery, are mismatch problems on linebackers. Like,
right. You
just run that up, you get those guys in kind of a base or a nickel with three other wide receivers, and you just run them. You're the legitimate power running team and the legitimate passing team with the personnel you've got out there. So I hope we're going to see a little bit more of that. I think we started seeing that this past week. But, yeah, that could be it. Just keep them fresh. Hopefully none of them get tired and injured. I'm down with that.
Yeah. All right. So the offensive side of the ball, wide receivers are dinged up. We flip it to the defensive side of the ball, and it looks like we're actually starting to get a little healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign. Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, both practiced today. So Rashad Breeland also looking to make his debut. He's at least on track, not 100% sure it's going to happen, but on his way. So all of a sudden, you lose Devon House. Mm-hmm. Kevin King's back. Jaire Alexander's healthy. Like, all of a sudden, we're looking really good. You're five deep at cornerback, and it's looking good.
Yeah, it's looking real good. It's really exciting. I mean, I really think, you know, there's people calling for Tremont Williams at safety at some point. I mean, listen, if we're going to see that, we're going to see that soonish, I think. Just if the guys that are practicing are actually healthy, it's almost a logjam at cornerback. And Breeland might take a bit to get up to speed. I can see them easing him in. I love King, but King can't seem to stay healthy, so maybe they ease him back in as well. But I think if you've got that group of those young guys, especially, man, like, Alexander looked good, and I thought Jackson looked a little lost. Jackson looked real good this past week. So if you get those guys coming up, and then you've got, Breeland and Williams and King, man, that's just a solid, solid cornerback group right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Just compared to last year. Where we were sitting last year, until like it was just a hot garbage.
House was the unquestioned number one. Like, he was the number guy. One.
Oh my god! Like, it is night and day. And I mean,
I'm sure you remember this, Steve. At this point, probably last year, like, sure, it would be nice to have Ladarius Gunter back, wouldn't it?
The guy who ran like a 4.940.
Him and House both, man.
Julio Jones. That seems like a good idea.
He's got him and House, long arms, just barely under sub 540s. Yeah, those guys. Oh, very glad we're away from those days.
Yeah, I mean, it is in a much better place right now.
For sure.
All right, so the Packers sitting 2-1-1, going up against the Lions, who are 1-3, and their only win is against the Patriots.
Dismantling of the Patriots.
I mean, I'm just a little lost as to trying to figure out what is going on with the Lions. I mean, they almost come back and beat the 49ers. They get blown out by the Jets. I mean, and then the Jets haven't looked good against anybody else. Mm-hmm. What is going on? Like, what am I supposed to expect?
Well, then the Cowboys last week. Like, I watched that game last night. That's a team. Cowboys didn't seem like they could move the ball on anyone, and they were just picking up yards, like chunks of yards, 20 at a time against the Lions. This past week. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're closer to the kind of a bad team. I've said this, I don't think here, but multiple other times. You know, I live in Kentucky. I watch a lot of SEC football. I used to. I don't get a chance to watch much college ball anymore. Matt Stafford on those Georgia teams were loaded with talent, And then they never really did much because Matt Stafford, like, will just – he's just remarkably inconsistent. Like, sometimes play to play, sometimes just game to game. And that follows him. Like, that's just who he is. Like, he's going to have a game where he looks tremendous, and he has a game where he throws a ball out of bounds. I think the only thing that really worries me about this team at this point is was it Kerryon Johnson?
Oh, he is looking
that good. Dude looks terrifying. Just and especially, I know the Football Outsiders Packers are 26th in run defense this year. The pass defense, I think, is top 12, if I'm not mistaken. But run defense, they've not been looking really good, which is weird because that's where we thought the strength of this defense was going to be, especially early on. So going up against the guy that that's coming on that the Lions are using a little more, and Johnson, I think, is going to be terrifying.
Yeah, Green Bay is right in the middle of the pack for rushing defense team-wise. But this is the thing I'm excited for is Detroit is dead last in rush defense. So, I mean, I'm really excited. I think Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, I mean, if they are thin at wide receiver, get ready for a lot of run game, a lot of screen passes to the backs. I mean, it's got potential to be smart and be like, hey, Aaron Rodgers is injured. Let's do quick passes. Let's do runs. Let's do screens. And
if get Mercedes catch. Lewis in there. You know,
hey, you know, a tight end. I mean, get Tonyan in there, man. Let's do something.
Let's do it, man.
Hey, I mean, Andy will freak out if that happens. We'll
let's get Montgomery back to wide receiver fully for a game. And you got him and Tonyan, and then, you know, a couple of the young guys. Let's get real weird with it. Let's get real weird with it.
I mean, if anything, I really want it to go like Varsity Blue style, where it's the oop-de-oop offense, where we got like a couple of four tight ends all grouped off to the right, and then Davante Adams to the left, and they won't know what to do. I mean, there could be a lot of fun being had in this Lions game.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to a lot of people that say McCarthy doesn't know how to be creative, so he won't actually ever do that. And that's probably right. They're not going to get that weird. But listen, man, if you've got wide receivers down and you got a chance to be creative, I mean, they're last in rush defense. They're like 26th in pass defense. Like, they're not a good defense all the way around. So I think you can beat the Lions wherever you feel like beating the Lions. But yeah, this seems like a game. Just unleash the tight ends, unleash the running backs, and just pick up 50 yards a pop. That seems like a good plan. Just call that play.
It's that simple. It's like Tecmo Bowl, right? Pretty much, just, you know, have Aaron Jones run back and forth in a zigzag pattern, and we're good to go.
That Cowboys game, I mean, they had multiple times. The Lions had just a linebacker matched up on Zeke Elliott, and they would just run him out, and the guy couldn't keep up with him. And you know who's faster than Zeke Elliott? Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is do lots of motion, man. Do lots of motion and call a couple plays going up to the line, call a run play and call a pass play, and you look to see what the motion is doing, and you look to see who's matched up on your running back, and then you just do something and you just gash them for like 10 yards a pop. Maybe I'm a little optimistic.
I think they could do it. If their run games use them 10 at a time, that's a good day.
That's a decent day.
At 3-1-1 and the Bears fans can shut up.
They never will. As long as they're number one in the division, they never will, and you know that.
But hey, on a side note, now the Cubs fans can't say anything anymore. So, you know, at least us in Wisconsin, it's a good time to be.
Yeah, thank God for that, right?
Yeah. So, wrapping things up, it was announced today that the Packers are going to be creating 220 residences in their Title Town project. So, my question to you is, we've got roughly like 18 to 20 people doing this podcast. I mean, do we all put down for one house, or do we each get our own and have like a little podcast area? Because apparently you can only have good Packers podcasts and news if you live within a certain distance.
We have to be within a mile, is my understanding. Within a mile or we don't, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm saying we can all put it together and we can all live there, and then it would make us
even
better.
We'll be super in the know. That's right. We'll be legit. You know, if we could get, like, I don't know how it's going to be structured. If it's like a cul-de-sac, I say we get, like, you know, a couple teams per house. If not, dude, listen, it's an idea that's never been done before, Steve. You get everyone in one house, you get a whole bunch of cameras, you record everything, and then some people get voted out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like the Pack-A-Day podcast real world style.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to see what happens when people stop talking about Packers and start getting real. it's going to be thrilling. It's exciting. Yeah, listen.
Oh, we'll start with 18 people on the microphone on each podcast and cut everybody per episode. And then by the end of it, it's just one guy doing it.
I think that's good.
Or girl.
Yeah. Listen, however that ends up being arranged, I want to go ahead and say I'm ready to put my down payment down. Whether we're all sharing a house or getting separate ones, I'm ready, brother.
Sure, it's going to be super cheap to do it. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's right next to Green Bay. Who wants to live right next to a stadium? Not me. So, yeah, no, it's going to be cheap. It's going to be real cheap.
All right,
I'm willing,
man,
to pay up to $250 per month for one of those houses. I'll tell you that, Steve.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Shoot us any questions you got. For me, I'm at Steve Furhatch. Dusty, what's yours?
At Dusty Evely.
At Dusty Evely. So follow us. Hit us up with any questions. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks there. Thanks for listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast.
6 seconds to go. Ball just outside the four. Rodgers shotgun, looks to his right. Snap to A-Rod. Throws right side.
Yes! Touchdown! And a dagger! The dagger to Andrew Wallace on the right side!
Aaron pointing to the right now. Gets the snap. Looking. Throws left side of the end zone. Leaping right at Devonta Adams.
Yes!
Touchdown, Green Bay! A spectacular throw and catch to the left side of the end zone. Rodgers from the 42, New York, fourth down and two. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, scrambles right. Now, winds up, rainbows into the end zone. It is caught. Yes.